Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 10. Acts in chapter 10. We'll be reading verse 1 down to verse 8. On Wednesday nights, we're studying on the life of the Apostle Peter. And we started in the very beginning when Peter came to know Christ as his Savior. And then through the Gospels, where Jesus was discipling Peter. And we're seeing things possibly a little different. We're looking through the eyes of Peter and what God has given to us concerning Peter and being able to learn from what God has preserved and recorded for us. And I trust it's been a help. It may be a little bit different way of looking at things. And I think we have seen a lot of things that have been a help to us and encouraging things to us. Well, Peter now is using what he was discipled to do. He was discipled to be an apostle. And after Christ ascended into heaven and the apostolic age was ushered in, then Peter would play a major role in the New Testament church during the apostolic age. And so I trust it's been a help to you looking at some of those things. And last week we looked at Peter heals Aeneas and Dorcas. And we find that this was as per God's leading, based upon God's will. And not everyone gets healed. Not everyone has things answered the way that they ask God to answer their request. All prayers do get answered, but not always according to the way that we want them to be answered. But it is according to God's leading, and he's able to do all things, able to heal Aeneas as well as Dorcas, raising her from the dead. And so God is able to heal all matter of diseases and things, but it's not always his will. But based upon God's leading and God's will, we do see God answer prayers and we do see healings even today. Well, now we're looking at chapter 10, and this again is looking at what God is doing through the Apostle Peter. I know Wednesday nights, everyone is battling a lot of different things. And you made it here tonight to the services. Praise the Lord. You hear me say that's half the battle. The other half of the battle is making sure you get all that God has for you. So you got to stay plugged in even though you're here. Those of you are watching live stream, I know it's getting harder and harder to stay focused when you're at home on the live stream. About everybody who is coming back after spending time at home and watching it live stream have said the very same things. It was exciting and kind of unique to start with, but then after a while, it does kind of lose some of its power, I guess, and you get accustomed to it, and you get too lazy at home. So dress like you need to be dressed to be able to stay involved in the services. Stand with us, sing with us, and get plugged in so that you at home are able to receive what God has for you through the live stream, but especially those that are here. Let's stay plugged into what God has for us. So go ahead and stand with me. Let's read here Acts chapter 10, verse 1 down to verse 8, and we are introduced to Cornelius, and Cornelius is directed by God to seek out Peter. And that's where we're seeing it through Peter. But Cornelius is important that God is leading him to seek out the Apostle Peter. So let's read here, Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God and with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, again, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you, Lord God, for the precious word that you have preserved for us. And Lord, as we have opportunity to attend services and hear the word of God being taught and being preached, and we know that you work through that. And I just pray, God, that tonight that you would work through that once again, that you would give each one that's here and those that are watching the live stream exactly the insight that they need to learn and to be able to be helped by the truths that will be presented through the preaching of thy word. I just pray that you would use it once again, empower it. For this we trust and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So Cornelius is someone that Peter, as far as we know, would not have known, not at all. And yet God was aware of Cornelius, and God was aware of Peter. And God was able to bring Peter into the life of Cornelius. Now, at this point in the dispensation of time, or the apostolic age, there was a change that was about to be revealed to the church. Now, I love it. There was a couple things. It's a mystery in the Old Testament. One of the mysteries in the Old Testament was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And we've already seen that, how God introduced this to his church. Jesus established his church, and then as he ascended into heaven, it was the apostles who would continue in leading the church. And one of the first things that was established, what Jesus had revealed would happen, as he would leave, he would send another comforter. And this comforter, which would take the place of Christ with men, would not only be with them, but he would dwell within them. And they would be sealed into the day of redemption. And so that has taken place in the apostolic age. One of the first things to happen that God used Peter to do is to preach Pentecost and to see the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so this was a mystery in the Old Testament, but it was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Well, the other thing about the Old Testament that was a mystery was somewhat the church, in that the church was here to not only represent Jews, but the church was here to reach the world. The church would be here to reach the Gentiles. And this is something that the Jews, they rebelled against to begin with. They did not understand that. They did not believe that. And yet we find this was the teachings of Christ, and this was what the apostles were to lead in the apostolic age. And so this right here is something that a change was about to be revealed to the church. And that change was the fulfillment of the Old Testament mystery. The salvation would be made available to the Gentiles. Now, I love that because, again, it's not doing away with the Old Testament. It is the fulfillment of the Old Testament and the Abrahamic promise that they would be a blessing to the entire world. Amen? But they didn't quite understand that. But now it's been revealed, and we're able to see it here. So now the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is something that the church has adopted, the church has been very aware of and is looking to. And now this idea of God working through Peter to start with. Now, even though Paul, if you study the New Testament, you know that Paul wrote 14 of the New Testament books. And Paul deals with this idea of reaching the Gentiles in so many of these books as he's preaching and teaching the truths of God to the churches. But even though Paul would be known as the apostle to the Gentiles, we're looking here, God would choose Peter to introduce it. Peter will play a huge role in the church understanding the need to not only minister to the Jews, but to minister to the Gentiles. Salvation would be made available to whosoever will just simply call upon the name of the Lord. All the people of the world. And Cornelius would be one of the very beginning that would see this and act upon that. Now, some of Paul's teachings, let's go ahead and let's look at that. Romans in chapter 2. Now, Paul has already been reached. In Acts chapter 9, we find that Paul was reached and was introduced to Peter. He was introduced to the other apostles. Peter still does not know that God is going to use him to introduce this truth to the Gentiles. And we'll see that next week as Peter is being prepared to be used of God to be able to reach the Gentiles. Now, but we find here, first of all, that God is working through Cornelius to get him to bring Peter into the equation. But here we find in Romans in chapter 2 and verse 9, Romans chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, tribulations and anguish upon every soul of man that doth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man. See that no respecter of persons. God is dealing with all people alike in this New Testament church age. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. For there is no respect of persons with God. There's no respect of persons with God, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be male or female. There's no respecter of persons. Well, that's so important that we understand, because they had it wrong. The Jews had it wrong. And this has always been God's will. And now God is revealing it here in the apostolic age to the New Testament church. In chapter 3, look over here, in chapter 3 and verse 9 of the book of Romans. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Paul is writing, and we find the Word of God is revealing to the church and revealing to us, especially even today, this has always been, but this is the mentality of the church, that everyone is under sin. And we all have committed sin, and there's none righteous. If you look down to verse 28, chapter 3 and verse 28, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Praise the Lord for that. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? And there's question marks there. Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision, the Jews, by faith, and uncircumcision, the Gentiles, through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? And I love this. It says, Paul writes, God forbid, yea, we establish the law. We establish every intent of the law. We establish all that the law was designed to do, to reach all people, to help all people and understand there's one plan of salvation that God has, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, with that in mind, go back with me to Acts in chapter 10. Acts in chapter 10. So we know that's what God is going to do with Peter in introducing Peter to Cornelius. But it would take Cornelius seeking after Peter. And we understand that Paul would be that apostle to the Gentiles, but it's Peter that's going to be introducing it. How did God work that out? How is God going to work that out to have Peter the one to introduce this new change in the church, the understanding of reaching the Gentiles? Well, Cornelius. Who was Cornelius? Cornelius, as we look here in verse 1, the Bible says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, he wasn't in a rock band. That's not what it's talking about. He was of the band of 100 men. That's why he was called a centurion. He was a Roman soldier. He was a Roman soldier that had a position over 100 men living in Caesarea. Now, Caesarea is a city in Jewish territory under the Roman Empire. We need to understand that. Rome was the superpower. Rome was the dynasty at this particular time. And Israel, the Jews, were under Roman authority. Cornelius was directed by God to seek out Peter. He was the key there as a Roman Gentile. He was there to keep the Jews in subjection to Rome and pay taxes. So this is very unusual because the Jews could not stand the Romans and the Romans could not stand the Jews. They thought themselves to be a lot better than the Jews. And yet, we find here that Cornelius was a Roman soldier there to keep track of and keep the Jews under his thumb. It was the Roman soldiers that actually performed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Right after this, we find here Cornelius knowing. Now, whether or not Cornelius was there at the crucifixion of Christ, some believe that he could have been. He would have known about it. He would have known about possibly the Old Testament law. He would have known about the beliefs of the Jews. Whether or not that's exactly what he believed was Old Testament, if he did, then he would have had to have come underneath the umbrella of Abraham because he knew himself to be a Gentile. And based on what the Jews believed, that the Gentiles could not be saved unless they would put themselves under and be circumcised and to be put underneath the Abrahamic covenant. That would be through circumcision. Now, we don't have any idea, don't have any insight that Cornelius had done that. But we find that that's what's taken place with Cornelius. He was a Roman soldier, and he was there to keep the law and to keep the Jews under control. And then the Bible gives us some insight, some character, the character of Cornelius. The Bible says in verse 2, he was a devout man. He was devoted to what he believed. You know, today there's a lot of different variations of religion, and you would look at somebody that would be devout would mean that they were very devoted to what they believed in that religion. They were very devoted Catholic. They were very devoted Methodist. They're devout Baptist. That's what the Bible is revealing to us concerning him, that he was devout, devoted to what he believed. Don't know exactly what he believed outside of he believed in a living God. There's a lot of people that are devoted and have a fear of God, a reverential fear of God, that are not saved. This would be Cornelius, a devout man, but he was devoted in whatever it was that he believed in, that he feared God, and he was raising his children with the very same belief that he had. It's so important that we understand that what we believe is so very important, because it's, if we're going to live it and we're going to raise our children, going to influence our families, you know, there's a lot of devout, say, Catholics that don't even have no understanding of what the doctrine, what they believe as their doctrine. And there's devout beliefs in all sorts of different religions. And most of the time, children are just devoted to it because they were raised by devoted parents, but they don't really understand or know what they even believe outside of the name. And I trust that's not taking place in the Baptist churches today, but if we're not careful, it will be. I remember 40 years ago, a little over that, and I was raised Southern Baptist, and I was saved when I was 8 years old. And I got through my teen years, and the Lord did some things in my life, and I knew that God was calling me to serve Him, but I didn't want to be Baptist just because I was raised Baptist. I knew the Bible was the key. It was God's Word. And I remember saying, I'm going to go to a Bible college to get a better understanding of the Bible. And in going to a Bible college to get a better understanding of the Bible, I started studying it and reading it for myself. And I started praying, God, help me to know who You are. Help me to know Your doctrines. And I didn't take the word of a professor. I didn't take the word. It was a Baptist college, but I didn't take the word. I just was kind of using that to help me to know what to study and how to study. And I thought, God, I know You're calling me into ministry, but if I'm going to devote my life to serving You, I've got to know. It's real. Because it's how I'm going to lead my wife as her husband. It's how I'm going to raise my children as their father. It's what I'm going to stand to preach and teach. It's how I'm going to work and minister to these young people, as I was in the youth ministry to start with. And I thought, it's so important. I've got to know. I've got to know I'm not Baptist just simply because that's how I've been raised. That's what I was influenced. I've got to know, and you've heard me say this before, but that's the beginning when I understood it's the Bible that made me Baptist. And I actually walked away from the Southern Baptist and I became an independent fundamental Baptist because they were holding to the Scriptures. This is 40 some years ago. But they were holding on to the Scriptures and teaching the Bible better than anyone else that I understood that I could find. It was the Bible that made the difference. And I trust I've been devoted to that ever since. Are you devoted to whatever religion because that's how you were raised or that's how you was influenced? Are you devoted to what you believe because you know it's truth? That's Cornelius. He was devoted, but he was lost. He was raising his family under his beliefs, but they were wrong. But I believe he had a desire to know the truth. Now, Peter, over in the book of Acts in chapter 11, here Peter's giving his testimony as far as what happened here with Cornelius, and it's important that we look there. Acts chapter 11 and verse 12, the Bible says, Peter says, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, Cornelius' house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send me to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now, Peter is testifying to this. This is what he heard. These people come, these men come. They told him this. And then he says, verse 4, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Now, you don't find that in chapter 10, but when Peter is presenting that, then we find that that's what was going on. That even though he was religious and he was devout and he was raising his children to believe in a God, he didn't know who God was until Peter was able to go to him and reveal to him Jesus Christ and be saved because he would now understand the blood of Christ. Amen. So that's what's going on here, is that Peter will go there and Peter will present Christ to him, and this devout man to religion will become a devout Christian for Christ based on truth. I trust that we are devout based on truth. He feared God, which was a good candidate for someone to get saved. Belief in God. Even though he was lost, he lived his life as one who believed in a living God. Because it also said, not only did he fear God, but he gave much alms to the people. He was a morally good man in that he wanted to give. He wanted to share his wealth and share the blessings that he looked to God, believed that came from God. He wanted to be a giver. And that's, praise the Lord, that is signs of genuine Christianity, but that's not what gets a person saved. Having a good heart and desire to help people is a good way to live life, but that is not going to get a person saved. Listen to me. We need to get past that idea of, well, I think that if there is a God, that he will save this person because they're such a good person and they believe they're sincere in what they believe. No matter how sincere you are in what you believe, if it's not based on the truths that God has given to us, it's not true. And it's not going to bring to you salvation. Sad to say, but there's going to be a lot of well-intended people spending an eternity in the devil's hell. That's hard, but that's reality. Because there's only one plan of salvation. And it's not just the Baptist way. It's the Bible way. It's what God says. If there's any other way, then Jesus would have died in vain. Can I tell you that my Lord and Savior did not die in vain? If there was any other way, then he would not have had to gone to the cross of Calvary. But because there is no other way, he went to the cross of Calvary. And there the only begotten Son of God bled and died for us. Religious man, but unsaved. Which reminds me of what Jesus did in addressing a religious man that was not saved, whose name was Nicodemus, who thought he was going to go to heaven because he was a religious Pharisee. The Bible says in John chapter 3, and there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He held on to his position of a Jew. He's saved, going to go to heaven, surely. But that's not true. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He even believed in the miracles of Christ, but did not give Jesus Christ the place that he deserves, deity, God the Son. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He was speaking right at Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, you're not saved. You've never been born again. Yes, you're a religious ruler and you're a Pharisee and you're of the house of Abraham, but that's not going to be enough. You got to be saved. Amen. That's the same today. People need to be saved. No one is exempt from needing to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. No matter how good they are, no matter how religious they are, no matter what they believe, they need to acknowledge that they're a sinner and Jesus is the only plan for salvation, and they need to call upon the name of the Lord. God's made it that simple, and yet there's so many that will not because, well, I just don't believe that. So that's Cornelius. Go back there with me, chapter 10. The Bible is revealing to us. Now, it's going to be Peter that's going to reach this Gentile. And that's where we see this in the life of Peter. But we have to understand what Peter's getting ready to deal with and address. And Peter doesn't even know that he's going to be the first one to introduce this to the church. He was a benevolent man. But not only that, look what the Bible says, and prayed to God always. A man of prayer, even though he didn't know the one he was addressing. He believed in a living God, or he would not have ever prayed. You know, one of the signs that will help you to know whether you truly believe in God and a living God and in Jesus Christ is, do you pray? Or are you just going through the motions? When something happens, what's the first instinctive thing that comes to mind for you? And it ought to be, turn to the one that I know that can help me. Turn to the one that I know is over all things. Turn to the one who loves me. And that's God the Father through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It's great to know that. That's being introduced to the church. The church is understanding this now. And it's available to all. Verse 3 and 4, Cornelius has an encounter with, he thinks it to be an angel of God. Can I tell you that this is none other than Christ himself? And this experience that Cornelius is going to have is one that is very familiar to the very same experience that the Apostle Paul, who was Saul the persecutor, had. Now, let's read this. He said, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. The ninth hour of the day. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it? But he automatically realized this is God. What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now, I'll get back to that, but the idea there is he calls him Lord. If you look back with me to chapter 9, and we'll find this is the very same thing in the apostolic age, how God worked to reach Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul, who is known as the apostle to the Gentiles. And look right here in verse 3, chapter 9, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? This was Saul's conversion. This is him acknowledging Jesus as being the Lord, because he's acknowledging a living God, and whoever this living God is, he is Lord. And then the Bible says, Jesus says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now at that moment, Saul is thinking about every wrong thing that he did in persecuting Christianity, persecuting Christ, because he said, I am Jesus. Now, as far as we know, Cornelius didn't hear that. He did not know that, but he understood that this is a God that knows me and loves me and wants me to know him. Because the angel, possibly Christ himself, said that your alms, everything you've done, has come up for a memorial before God. A memorial. Cornelius' response to the evidence of God had not gone unnoticed by God. He says, your desire to know God, your actions, your prayer, your devoutness is something that God has recognized. God does not answer the prayer of those who do not know him as their Savior, Jesus as their Savior. You can't get to God the Father outside of through Jesus Christ. But God is very much aware of all people. And he says, for a memorial, it has brought this to the very mind and the remembrance of God, everything that you have been doing. Wow. Now, I love that because God makes a way for everyone who has a desire to know God, to know God. Too often we say, well, what about people living out in the jungles around the world and they're isolated from everything? God makes available to all humanity who has the desire to know God, they can know God. That's why we send missionaries. That's why the witness is all around the world. But people have to desire it. And they have to take advantage of what the first thing that God reveals to humanity, to know that there's a living God, nature. The world itself. The design of all things. Psalms in chapter, now Romans in chapter 1, you'll see this also, but it starts with Old Testament. I believe this is maybe something that Cornelius would have read because it would have been available. The Old Testament was available to him living there in a Jewish controlled area. If you look in Psalms in chapter 19, he might have been basing his belief in a God based upon what he read in the book of Psalms, possibly Psalms 19 when it says this in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. How can you not look up into the heavens and how can you not look at the earth and the world, all the design of all things and not know that there's an intelligent design? It could not have just all fallen together the way that it is. The idea of what came first, the chicken or the egg, amen? That is not very hard at all, amen, if you know God. Who was first, the man or the woman? To be able to reproduce, that's not hard at all if you know God. Because God created the earth with age. God created humanity as adults, equipped by God to come together, designed by God to multiply. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, intelligent design. It's speaking to you, if you let it. And night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language which their voice is not heard. Every nationality, every voice, every language, people around the world, they can hear the voice of God if they just listen. They can see that there's a God if they would just open their eyes. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of the chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Can I tell you, that's Cornelius. Cornelius would have believed in a creator God. Cornelius would have believed in a living God. That's why he's praying to him. That's why all that he's devout and all the different things that are going on. But he is still lost because he has not come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. For him to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it would take him being introduced to Peter or someone who knows the gospel. Whether by a track. There's people all around the world that's been saved by missionary leaving a track. There's people in Indianapolis right here that's been saved by us leaving a track, by hearing the word of God preached, going all across the airways. Can I tell you, they have to hear the gospel. They have to understand the gospel to call upon the name of the Lord. But God is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. What is the reward? Salvation. Salvation. It was for a memorial. The angel said, God, your life and your seeking of God and your desire to understand has not gone unnoticed. God is going to introduce you to someone who can tell you what you need to do to be saved. If you've ever led somebody to Christ, and I trust most everyone here Wednesday night you have, God used you as he would Peter to take the gospel to Cornelius. Someone who has been saved knows how to help someone else to do what you did to get saved. That's all it takes. You knowing what you had to do to get saved, that's the same plan that God has for everyone, Jew and Gentile, all around the world. God's same plan. So we find here that back over, and we got to quit here, but Acts chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon. Jesus, the angel is revealing, I want to introduce you to Peter, who's able to tell you what you've got to do to be saved. Peter, he lodges with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Peter is introduced as who God would work through to lead this Gentile to Christ. And I tell you today, God chooses to work through ambassadors and not angels. God's not going to send an angel to give you the gospel to get saved. He's going to send an ambassador. An ambassador is somebody who has been saved, got saved, and understands it's God's will for you to go tell somebody else what you did so that they can do the same thing and get saved. God chooses to use man, that's what I'm saying. God could send angels. He could have, the angel could have told Cornelius what he had to do, but he didn't. He said, no, it's not my plan for the New Testament church age. It's my plan to work through man, to work through ambassadors. Peter is one of my ambassadors, and you send to for him, and he'll come and he'll tell you what you need to do. I've had people call the church and say, can you come over? I want you to tell my wife what she needs to do to be saved. Can you come over? I want you to tell my teenager what they need to do to be saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. when we're able to do that. Verse 7 and 8, closing here. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now what's so important about that? Cornelius would follow through with what God revealed for him to do. Follow through, Cornelius. Not only will you be saved, but your whole family in turn will be saved. Follow through, Peter. For not only will you lead Cornelius to the Lord, but the fruit from leading Cornelius to the Lord is going to open the door for all the Gentiles to understand what they must do to be saved. Isn't that great? Yeah. Another lesson from the life of the Apostle Peter. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. What great truth. I trust that we are of the very same belief as Peter was. He knew Christ as Savior. He knew what he believed. He surrendered his life to be one of God's ambassadors. God would have every born-again believer to be an ambassador for him. Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you for the truth that we've heard here tonight. And I pray that we would now apply it to our lives, our beliefs, our devotion to you. Work in our midst now. In Jesus' name, amen.